Well, this morning I'll be sharing a message entitled Life in the Spirit. And specifically, I was thinking in the context of knowing Jesus, having new life with Jesus, spiritually being reborn, and then walking that out and having life in the Spirit. Now, as I was thinking about that, I was thinking of sometimes different approaches. I just kind of came up with the names, but I'm sure you could use other titles, of how sometimes we might follow Jesus. So when you come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and I'm sure many of us have, it's amazing to realize that, wow, there's a God who loves me, who's created me, who sent his son down to die on the cross for my sins and give me new life, both in this life and forevermore in heaven, and that he'll be with me at every single moment. Isn't that amazing? Right? Yeah, so you come to know Christ, and for those who know, have a relationship with Jesus, think back for a moment, if you could, just to maybe that moment, that season of getting to know Christ for the first time, and just what that experience was like of knowing this God, not just in a, he exists, but in a personal way through Jesus, and how Christ is in you, his Holy Spirit, and what that might feel like. I was recently talking to a Clarkson student who next week will be sharing his story just from a couple weeks ago of coming to know Christ. And let me tell you, the joy and love and specifically the peace that fell upon this young man was incredible. We sang about that in a song this morning, right? Like unspeakable peace or unexplainable peace. But next Sunday, I hope you can join us, and we'll hear a story about someone who chose Christ over even his home country, even over his family. He made options to realize that Jesus is greater, and he wanted to make that choice because God had made that choice for him. So I want to encourage you to come next week. But as I was thinking about that, there's just such joy in this young student. It's just amazing. It's contagious. It's excitement, peace, and not difficult situations. And it's only through the life of the Spirit. But sometimes as we're going through our walk in life, sometimes that's not how we feel, right? That whole joyous excitement, God loves me, I love him, I love others, it's just an overflow. And sometimes it maybe feels like we're getting a little weary. And life, I don't think this is a truism, but life is hard. Life can be very challenging. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can distance ourselves from God, not to say that we can really move away from him, but not spend time with him, that we start to lose that joy and that passion that we first have of our salvation in Christ. And we start maybe focusing more on just making it through life. And I call this kind of like a holding ground approach. This idea of, I know my salvation is secure in Jesus. I know that I'll be with him forever in heaven. But really, that's my only focus because I've grown tired. I've grown weary. I've been hurt. And I'm just, that's it. Back in the day, there was a game that was pretty popular called Monopoly. Some board game, anybody play that? Board game, okay, Monopoly. And there was this idea going around this board, you could get thrown into jail if you landed on a certain card, and you could get this card that said, get out of jail free, which was wonderful, because then you got out of jail in a board game, not in real life. But I remember speakers and pastors would share when I was younger how sometimes they would call the holding ground approach, they would call this actually get out of hell free card approach. This idea that the only thing that really mattered was I got a card, essentially Jesus saying, you can be with me forever. And that's the only thing that was, like, only thing that would be the example of them following Jesus. Those who fall into this category, if not careful, if people were looking for somebody that loved like Jesus and spoke like Jesus, this person would blend in so well, you would not even notice. And if you're in a holding ground approach, I'm praying that this morning that you would be refreshed and renewed, as the psalmist says, that the joy of your salvation would be restored. Another approach to following after Jesus that we sometimes fall into, I think maybe more of us fall into this, I just call it convenient Christianity. This is the idea that it's not like, I don't love Jesus. Actually, Jesus is a very significant part of my life, a good 20%, 40%. When it is convenient, I definitely want to be open for the move of the Spirit, right? My schedule is busy. This person experienced moments of joy of the Lord. Moments, not a lifestyle, but moments where the holding ground approach person doesn't experience much joy at all in the Lord. This person, it's when it's convenient. And here's some examples. So prayer time, I really think prayer is important, but when it's convenient, then I'll try to make time for prayer. Reading the Bible, I really think it's important, but I just don't have a lot of time, and it's just not convenient. I know God wants me to witness to a family member or share Jesus, and I'm really nervous about it. I got to step out of the boat in faith, so to speak, but it's really not convenient. It's probably going to be awkward. Are you with me? Right? I think a lot of us, I know myself, I've done this before too. You're walking along, God's like, I want you to go speak to that person. I want you to love on that person. I want you to give generously to that person. I want you to meet that need. I want you to clothe this person, right? And it's like, God, it's not really convenient. If we stay in this place for too long, eventually this person, he or she, can be like, you know what, Lord? I just don't know if I have enough time to fit you into my schedule. My calendar's maxed, right? It sounds kind of silly saying it like this, right? It's like, we don't have enough time for Jesus. But we can do this, right? I know I've done this before, and I'm sure a lot of us, we can even do that in little small areas, if not in big areas. Well, the focus I want to really point on as far as a direction to go into is the idea of being full of life in the Spirit. I kind of signify that as if a plant or a tree was blooming with flowers. This would be like the fruit of the Spirit of abiding with Jesus. This kind of person is a man or woman who just daily abides with the Lord, overflows with joy, not based on circumstances, has peace that never fails, doesn't even make sense, situations are difficult, but has just a peace, looks for opportunities, not on a daily level, but moment by moment. God, where are you working, and how can I be part of that? So it's not just like, Lord, I want to give you this morning quiet time. It's God, I want to give you the whole day, and I'm thinking about it minute by minute, hour by hour. Lord, how can I be used for you? If they come across someone that the Lord's saying, hey, I want you to share Jesus with them, they might think, that seems difficult. But when they think of God, they're like, you know what? I have such a love for God and for others. I'm going to step out in faith and do something scary and share Christ. They see someone who's lacking a coat when it's cold out. They might even ask the Lord, Lord, do you want me to give the very coat I'm wearing to that person right now? This kind of person is abiding and joyful and alive in the Spirit, has great fun, does incredibly scary things, steps out in faith, and does it all for the glory of God. This person is marked by an incredible amount of humility. If you ask, why do you live this way, or how do you have this amount of joy, they always seem to talk so quickly about Jesus and so little about themselves. I'm hoping that all of us this morning would want to go this direction. I know I do. I want to be more and more full in the life of the Spirit. This individual is incredibly, like, ridiculously rich. Now I got your attention, right? Super rich in eternal things and holds the things of this earth so loosely that they see the future gifts and goals that Jesus has promised as a thing they can hold on to in faith, and so that the things on this planet, they just seem to fade and become dim. And I'm praying that we could all move and grow towards maturity to be a Christ follower that is full in the life of the Spirit. I wanted to look at an example of a person. He's not perfect, but I think he's a good example of someone that's full of the Spirit, and he's stepping out and doing things that are pretty big, I think, for most of us, the way he's just being led by the Spirit. I want to look at a man named Philip, and we'll be looking in Acts 8, verse 26, but I want to talk about a little bit before that, in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. So a little bit of background. So the context is the church, which is referred to as the Way at this time, is following after Christ, and they're sharing Christ, but they're under incredible persecution. There's a man named Saul who is persecuting them. He just gave the approvals for one of the seeing one of the earlier leaders killed, Stephen, who was literally stoned to death. Stones were thrown at him until he died. And then he started just with a lot of zeal and a lot of passion. He's a very smart, intellectual man. Started rounding up Christians, persecuting them, and throwing them into jail. So because of this, the church starts to scatter. There's persecution, and they start to scatter. One of the earlier leaders, Philip, he went to Samaria. And as he went there, he preached the gospel. He preached the good news of Jesus Christ. It's really neat to see this, because you think of sometimes persecution, and I've searched some responses to persecution, and let's hide and like just try to blend in anywhere. He went to a different country, he just started preaching Christ. And the Holy Spirit was with him, and boy, did he have a successful ministry there. People are coming to know Christ. Men and women are responding. Their evil spirits are getting casted out. People are getting healed. Others are getting baptized. Like, it's pretty exciting. Philip is on the move, and the Lord is moving him, and it's incredible. So that's kind of the background. in Acts. You can read it later if you want. Acts 8, 1 to 25. So I want to look at 26 to 31 this morning. So Philip's in Samaria. He's having a really, really fruitful ministry. And the Holy Spirit, or in the first case actually, it's an angel of the Lord, speaks to him to tell him to go somewhere else. And so let's look at this in little sections this morning. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is a desert place. Just pause there for a moment. So Philip has a really successful ministry in Samaria. Even Peter and John came later to see what's going on. It's amazing. It's amazing also to see how Philip, who's full of the Spirit, that was actually one of the key pieces when they were choosing some leaders to help minister to the poor. They had to be full of the Spirit, and Philip was one of those leaders. But it's really neat to see that Philip didn't hold momentary success in Samaria as a reason for not going to the middle of nowhere, right? How often can we do that? Lord, it's fruitful here. I just need to stay here. Philip was more concerned about what the Lord told him to do than what the circumstances were informing him. And so we see that he's being instructed by the angel of the Lord to go to the middle of nowhere, literally a desert place. Verse 27, it says, "And he rose and he went." See that instant obedience. And as he was going there, it says, "And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Cadence, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit," another prompter, "the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join the chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah, the prophet, and asked him, 'Do you understand what you were reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." I just am so just amazed by Philip's response. When you read something, it's just kind of like, especially if you know it, sometimes it's just like, okay, this is what Philip does. But it's amazing that he'll leave Samaria. He just goes to a desert place, is the location the Lord of the angel told him to go. Going to a desert place. And then when he's there, it's just kind of like, what's going to happen next? Then the Spirit's like, specifically, "I want you to go over to this chariot." You see Philip, full of Spirit, being led by the Spirit in a moment-by-moment basis, being like, "You know, Lord, I just want to go wherever you want me to go. You want me to stay, I'll stay. You want me to go, I'll go." And he's led. And he's led, and he has this incredible encounter with this Ethiopian eunuch. And so as we're learning about this Ethiopian eunuch, he's a God-fearing man that doesn't know yet the full revelation of Jesus, but it has been gone down to Jerusalem to worship and is coming back. And Philip has this opportunity to share and unpack Isaiah. So let's look at that in the next section. He was reading this passage. It says, "Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from earth.' And then the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask, does this prophet say this? About himself or someone else? Or about someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus." So Philip's just literally like on the go. This is like, I like trying to be somewhat planned out when I do life. I don't know about you. Maybe you're a really planner or not. But Philip is not, he didn't come with like a PowerPoint, right? Here's a PowerPoint, Isaiah 51. I just want to unpack this, with you for 30 minutes. He didn't come with an outline. He didn't come with some kind of track. He just literally was being led by the Spirit, willing to step out of the boat. Keep referring to that because the Holy Spirit kept mentioning that earlier. But stepping out of the boat in faith, and he's just moving and flowing. I think for many of us, this would be kind of scary, right? Anyone with me? Would this be scary for you? This would be scary for me. Leave this country, go to this place, middle of nowhere, go up to that person, they're asking this, and then just start explaining it all. It's like, you don't even know this place or this desert or this person, and yet the Holy Spirit is guiding him, that he has such focus and clarity in how to respond. This is a great reminder that when the Holy Spirit leads you to an opportunity, and the Holy Spirit is still alive and well today, amen, right? So when he's moving in you and telling you to go places, telling me to go places, know that wherever he brings you and asks you to do, he'll give you exactly what you need in that moment. Oftentimes, though, not before. That's where it gets a little scary. I was hearing recently, I was at a prayer meeting, and there were some prophets from New Jersey and Canada there, and they're mentioning how following after Jesus is the most fun and scary thing you can do with your life. Super fun, right? Full of joy, passion, excitement, love. Super scary, because walking on water is scary, right? Stepping out and leaving a successful ministry to go to the middle of nowhere is scary. Having someone named Saul possibly following nearby trying to persecute you is scary. A lot of that's going on. But yet the Holy Spirit was the one guiding, and he was full of just focus and joy to preach Christ, and the Lord was just doing miraculous things. So even though it's scary, don't make that the emphasis. Focus on, Lord, I just want to do what you want me to do so that way I can honor you, even if it means stepping out of the boat. And so you see here that Philip's able to explain what's going on. And then this next part is often used as an example in a lot of books and scripture of an example of how to point someone to coming to know Jesus. And if you're here this morning, have yet to know Jesus Christ, really glad that you're here. I'm hoping that you'll learn a little bit more. Love to talk to you more about Christ. But Philip starts right in Isaiah, the Old Testament, right? It wasn't Roman Road. It wasn't the New Testament. He started in Isaiah, in the Old Testament, and then he went all the way pointing to Jesus. Even though it was a prophetic word about Jesus pointing forward, he started right there and used scripture and went right to Jesus. And we don't get a lot of like details around what is happening specifically, but we get to see that the Ethiopian eunuch responds to what he's learning about from the Old Testament and now Jesus, and you'll see that in verse 36. It says, and as they were going along the road, they came to some water. So as he's learning more about Jesus and who Jesus is, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? Wow, that was quick, right? Coming to know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and then being like, all right, learning more about scripture, I want to be baptized. Water baptized. And here's the response. And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Right there. If you look in Acts, it's really raw. It's really just like on the go. It's awesome. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord, get this, carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And then, but Philip found himself in Azotus, and he passed through. As he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. What a powerful moment. This Ethiopian eunuch, he was just ripe. He was ready to hear about the gospel, and Philip was ready to share. I believe so much that the Lord is just working and drawing still men and women to himself. Scripture says that no one can come to God unless he draws them to them, unless the Holy Spirit's drawing. And God is drawing community members, college students in our area to himself. Do you believe that this morning? He is. So the question isn't, God, why don't you save people around me? But Lord, where are you working, and how can I be there? Are you with me? If you're into sailing at all, it's that kind of idea of putting up your sail. Instead of being like, I have no wind here, then let's go to a place where we can find wind. Let's put up our sails, and Spirit, would you blow, and let's move. And that's exactly what Philip did. I'm really excited. The testimony next week is an example of that, someone being drawn to God and just Scripture igniting and responding instantly. It's amazing. Next Sunday, it's in the works. Things are moving kind of quick because a student actually is doing an internship and leaving soon, but we'll possibly be doing a water baptism actually in the river. Cold, I know. Next Sunday, I'll get some more details out in the New Hope News. But as I've been reviewing scripture with a student, it's like, I want to be baptized. Jesus got baptized? You're supposed to be baptized? New life? Boom. So it moves really quickly. Ethiopian eunuch, it all happened, it looks like, in the same time frame or whatever. But yeah, in response, I want to mention something about baptism. Baptism isn't what saves you. Only God's grace on the cross saves you. Amen? Not by works. If baptism was a way to be saved, then that would be a work. It'd be like a means to salvation. Baptism is a sign of salvation in the sense that it is an outward demonstration of an inward decision. Oftentimes, I hear water baptism being described as like a wedding ring. It's a symbol of the marriage. If my marriage is based on this ring, then if I lost the ring, uh-oh, right? It's like, where is that one ring? No, it's not like that. It's an outward symbol of a decision, of a commitment. And it's one that this Ethiopian eunuch was like reading scripture, Philip was guiding him, and I want to respond, and he was baptized. It's amazing how powerful God is and also how big he works in ways that we don't fully understand. Because if you read the text, it says that Philip was literally taken away. So I don't know if that's like transported, just moved miraculously to a different area. But the Ethiopian eunuch didn't see him anymore, and then he shows up in a different town. So God as really good ways of transporting people around. It reminds me of the Old Testament of a man named Enoch, who once was, and then he walked with God and was no more. God can, like, literally blows our mind. And if God, in your perspective, has become so predictable and easy to maybe understand, it might be because the viewpoint of God that you have is too small. Are you with me? Like, if it's just like it needs to fit in this container, like God could teleport someone over somewhere, or God could just miraculously bring Philip, and the guy respond, and he's literally eager for someone to help him learn more about Jesus, and Philip was ready. So I want to ask a couple thought reflection questions as I'll be wrapping up in just a moment. I want to invite the musicians to come up. Philip, he's not perfect. None of us are perfect, but I think he's a great example of being full of the Spirit, having life in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, being open to the Spirit, and obeying the Spirit. And I want to just review some of the things I mentioned before. As I was talking in the introduction, I was mentioning just kind of three approaches that maybe we might have. The idea of holding ground, the idea of, I know I have life with Jesus, but life's been so hard that I don't even bother to speak his name or share or be part of that. My encouragement to you would be to invite you to ask the Lord to restore your joy of your salvation, your first love. Sometimes that happens in relationships, right? Significant friendships or even spouses, that over time, if you're not careful, they can slip. And what once was one of the most loving, exciting, if you're married, romantic relationship ever, has now become more of like a dry, stagnant, kind of feeling like, why am I even part of this? But yet there was a commitment at some point to be like, I want to work through this in the good times and the hard times. I want to be with you through this. And those are opportunities too to ask God, Lord, would you restore, not necessarily my salvation, but restore love for the person, God, I committed to. And our relationship with God is, it's kind of like a marriage in some ways, because it talks about how God has died for his church, not New Hope Community Church specifically, but larger than that, his global church, which refers to as the bride. The cool thing in a relationship with God is he's perfect all the time. Isn't that awesome? Any human relationship, you're going to make mistakes, I'll make mistakes, your friend will make mistakes, your spouse will make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. Everyone makes mistakes. That's why we need forgiveness and grace all the time. But a relationship with God, even if we've been in a place of holding ground and realizing, God, I don't want to move one step forward, know that God is just waiting with arms wide open for you to take that step towards him. That place of brokenness, that place of pain, he wants to bring healing to those places in Jesus. For those who are in a place of just, and I think this is probably a larger group of us because it's a pretty broad category, but convenient Christianity, of fitting Jesus in when it's convenient, that's not in any way that we see the way that the Lord Jesus lived his life when it came to relating to our Heavenly Father. Jesus would only do what he saw his Heavenly Father doing in heaven and do it on the earth. And if you're in this place, this is a great place to ask, Lord, both of them actually, but this one too, ask, Lord, forgive me for elevating myself and my plans above you and your plans. Lord, I want to be open and led and full of life to be open to you. That we might be in a place of full of life and full of the Spirit. And lastly, the life in the Spirit. And I just love this picture I found online, but of all the beautiful flowers, I'm just like, wow. Just that idea of just there's life and there's fruit and there's beauty. I just think if in Christ, when we abide with Jesus, well, we're not growing flowers, but we're growing the fruit of the Spirit, and it's beautiful and it's powerful and it's wonderful and it's available to you this morning, all through Jesus. If you feel like your life's too broken, just know it's not. God's able to bring healing to the most broken places, just like Pat shared, that water is able to go to the deepest places in the valleys of the sea. God's able to go to the deep places and bring them life. So I just wanted to take a moment to pray, and then we'll have a song to conclude with before our benediction. But have a time to just reflect and just to think, Lord, is there an area I need to lay down? Is it my life I need to surrender? God, have I been playing God and trying to fit you in on my schedule? Ask the Lord, and maybe you already know. But Lord, you can ask him, forgive me, God, and fill me again afresh. And as I'm going to pray for us, if you're in a place where you just want to receive a fresh move of God in your life, I encourage you just to, you don't have to lift them all the way up, but just have your hands open in a posture to receive. If you think of like holding fists like this, like there is no room to receive anything but to move that God, I want to move from this to this. I want to be in a place of surrender. Holy Spirit, I want you to come fill me. You just put your hands up like this in a place to receive. I'd love to pray for all of us, including myself. Heavenly Father, God, thank you that you love us. God, thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Lord, that we could have been holding ground and just looking down for the last week, month, years, 20, 50 years, and you're here, still waiting, arms wide open for us to come back. Lord, I just pray that you would unlock our hearts. God, I pray that your love would permeate our whole being. It'd be saturated in your presence. Lord, I pray for those who are just struggling with the convenience. There's a real desire for you, but it's kind of more dictated by what's going on in our lives than maybe what you're asking us to be stepping out in faith. Lord, I just want to pray with my brothers and sisters that we would just surrender completely to you. God, we can't redo last week or last year, last 10 years, but Lord, we could start afresh right now, this morning, to step out in newness and joy and love to give you this day, this moment, this week coming up to you. Holy Spirit, would you just fill us afresh, restore the joy of your salvation, that we would once again bloom and blossom and overflow with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.